And welcome to Raycast, the Path of Exile podcast, your home for Path of Exile diehards, tryhards, casual, and hardcore alike. I am your host, Xanth, and I'm joined today by my lovely co-host, Leviathan.
Howdy, what's going on, everyone?
And our special guest for the evening, Macrobio Boy.
What it do? I've managed to infiltrate PoE as well. You're never getting rid of me.
And
he's everywhere.
For anybody who's tuning in who doesn't listen to our other podcast, the Diablo podcast, and has never encountered you before, Macrobio Boy, you know, I guess this is weird because I know you already and we've talked several times, but who are you? What are you bringing in to this world of Path of Exile?
You know, I very recently got to do this on one of my first build guide videos because I realized people won't know me. Hi, my name's Mac. You could just shorten it down to Mac. I was a Diablo 2 speedrunner for a number of years, got a couple world firsts under my belt. Most notably, I beat the game as a pacifist in hell difficulty in a 30-hour speedrun, which I'll never get those hours back in my life, but we did it. I'm the max role content lead for Diablo 2 Resurrected. I'm the max role necromancer class lead for Diablo 4. You might have seen me there. And nowadays, I've been playing the Infernalist Minion Witch build in Path of Exile 2 and loving it. So thank you very much for having me. It's a pleasure to meet you all over here in the Rayclass podcast universe.
Yeah, and I want to point out that we've talked for years now, which is weird. In this digital space. And I've been pushing you to get into Path of Exile for a while, and I understood that PoE 1 didn't have that draw to it, right? It's hard to jump in on PoE 1, especially as Diablo 4 is launching and it's getting its peak, but Path of Exile 2 looks so good, plays so good, and I'm happy that you get to take your crazy math brain and apply it to this game and do the work that I can't do. I mean, I'm sure I can do it, but like, you're just so much better at it. And I want to reap the benefit of your brain, essentially.
Yeah, we actually, I got to make my first spreadsheet today testing out the heft support gem. It's actually granting a 60% bonus, and that applies pre-conversion. It's a very unique stat, so I'll have a video covering that soon. But I got my first opportunity to like do Path of Exile science, so I was really excited.
See,
it's interesting
content.
It's interesting too, Xanth, that you brought up like the PoE 1, you know, trying to convert or at least like touch the craziness that is that. But I think Macro, to your credit, PoE 2 is like the perfect like onboarding point for someone like you, having like been familiar with your content, because there's a lifetime of, you know, the 10 years, decade plus sort of building up of mechanics and things that it can be hard. I'm sure you could onboard yourself to it, but like, there are so many videos and guides out there over the years that have covered like, this is how Leech works and this is how like these mechanics, you know, interact and whatever. But it's kind of cool now to be at the precipice of another game that's just starting out,
right?
And being able to like, you know, give those footholds to people that are like, hey, I really do want to dig in on Infernalist and do minions and stuff. Like, are you going to be that guy for me?
Right. So, and just for like a little bit more context, PoE had just finally gotten its hold in me in the most recent league, Settlers of Kalgar. I just didn't have any time to play it. I got really into it. I was playing I didn't manage to beat the campaign. I think I only made it to like Act 7 or something before Diablo 4 pulled me away again. But I was playing like a chieftain. I was using, I don't remember, there was Leap Slam and some fire skill. And it was very, very good. And I was like, oh, I get it. Like, I finally get it. Like, I managed to craft like a 5-link weapon and it rolled like good affixes for my build. And I was like, oh, this is it. And then I couldn't play the game anymore because I was too busy.
Perfect. But
exactly to that point right there. Yeah, it's not to immediately, you know, segue us into a hole here, but you're exactly right. There's so many people who have done so much digging and so much research and testing and proofing, and there's infinite content out there. And that was like one of the things I was just like, well, what would I even do? I guess I'll just play the game and do build guides. You know, I'm not going to try to pretend like I'm going to have the perfect POB for everybody, you know, day one, but I'm just going to play it and experience it. And that's why it's cool that like already I've found a thing that is not necessarily fully understood exactly what it's doing in the game. It appears to be bugged. So I can get a little bit of that foothold. But the cool part about it, like you just said, is being on the precipice of a new game where so much stuff is like, does this still work the same? Is it exactly like PoE1? They're changing this, so did they change that? But yeah, it's been a really, really awesome time getting into the game and just kind of sitting down and being a new player of a video game, which I don't get to do a lot, oddly enough. You know, get to make mistakes, get to not know exactly what's going on and what's the best path forward and what's the min-max strat. It's been really exciting.
Absolutely.
You hit on something. Juggling an ARPG and another ARPG is a really tough endeavor. You mentioned you got a lot of irons in the fire with, you know, D2R, D4, now PoE2. How the hell are you going to do it?
I don't know. I don't have an answer to it. No, to that point, this gets a little bit into the weeds of like, what does it really mean to be a content creator, especially in this space where people kind of expect excellence? You know, the Path of Exile community, holds themselves up to a pretty high standard. Because you have the best of the best people who have been playing these builds for years. They've been through every iteration of it, every bug, every change, every whatever, you know, and who are you to walk up and say like, oh, I could tell you about that. But the answer is, luckily enough, and you see this both with Blizzard and with GGG now, you have them both on record going, hey, you play a season for about a month. Like that's what we're kind of expecting to get out of people. And like one of the big stream reveal with Ziggy D as the host, you know, one of them was just like, yeah, you know, I play the league for like maybe like 3-4 weeks and I get what I want out of it. And then I move on to something else. And that exact same thing is what you're going to see with so many more ARPG content creators where it's like, I'm playing this league. This is a build I'm playing. You're going to get updates out of me for this. I'll touch on some of the updates. I'll touch on the patch notes and stuff. Next season for next game is playing. Okay, this is a build I'm going to be playing. You can follow me for that. And, you know, as long as you are consistently putting in the time and effort to be as well educated as possible and to really dig in every single time, your community and the people consuming your content should at least be able to expect a certain level of quality out of that. And I think that helps, you know, oddly enough, I don't have 3 months of Diablo 4 content to talk about. You know, there's only so many times I can retest every single thing and then go, okay, here's my stamp of approval, moving on. And having more games kind of organically alleviates a bit of that frustration and that lull period.
Yeah, I figured you were going to, follow up. Like, I figured you were going to talk about that cyclical nature of the different ARPGs. Like, in my ideal mind, it would be so perfect if PoE2, and I know like PoE1, they're saying is still going to have legs on it and leagues and all that. So we'll see how that factors in. But like if D4, PoE2, and Last Epoch, I want so badly for that game to like find its footing in this space as well. Because there could be this amazing thing where everyone figures out their cadence. And like in January, you get the new D4. In February, you would get like the new Last Epoch. And then in March, you get the new PoE2. And then it's just on this like perfect 3-month. You do the next thing cycle. It's unideal. I mean, sorry, it's very unlikely because development is what it is. And somehow somewhere one of these companies is going to get delayed. But, you know, a man can dream.
Yeah, no, I mean, you hit it exactly on the noggin there where it's just this idea of it would be perfect. You know, that game behind the scenes, there isn't like some like weird machine where they're all trying to step on each other's toes. Oddly enough, it's just companies big and need to do stuff. But if it could just be like boom, 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 never stopping, you know, and you get to choose a vacation when you're not particularly interested in a league or a season or whatever it is, that would be the ideal world. I would love for that to be reality.
Circling back to kind of what you said before, when it comes to player base, like you are right, there is a heavily entrenched Path of Exile player base, and the most recent PoE1 league was the most played ever. Then the PoE2 happens, and we were talking about this with Ziggy D on the last podcast. There are realistically now more new Path of Exile players than old Path of Exile players. There are so many new people playing this game that aren't entrenched to a particular streamer, that aren't entrenched to a particular, you know, mindset, and are looking for new things. And I think it's, like I said, that's where it was really exciting to see you enter this space, because I very much trust what you do and what you create. And I think a lot of those new people are going to value what you're putting out. So it's an exciting time.
I appreciate that. Yeah. I mean, hopefully, as long as I know that what I'm doing is up to my own standard, bare minimum, I can always say, hey, I know I at least tested this, so this will do this thing. I may not find you the best cast on trigger infinite loop, everything is automated version of the build. My brain may not work that way, but at least, like, if you click this button, you'll be able to kill that thing on the screen and I can show you how. So, you know, no, hopefully that's good enough.
It'll be good enough for me. So this isn't just, you know, let's blow smoke up Macro's ass and make him feel good about himself. We're going to talk about the actual game, right? The last podcast we had, Ziggy D was on, and in the middle of that, I was actually playing Path of Exile 2. I had the press beta. I had to stop playing to talk about it and, like, also bite my tongue. And I've been so excited to talk about this game. But what I'm most excited to hear about is I got my hands-on experience, and I was waiting to see how other people reacted to getting to play this game. So this is for both of you. You've been hearing about it. There's been this build, and then early access happens. And it's a little shaky at first, but not awful. I thought I was going to be sitting in a queue forever. That was not the case. I also, you know, I was working that day, so it wasn't until like 5 o'clock my time that, like, I got home. I got my son to sit down right next to me, and we did console co-op for several hours. What was your experience diving in headfirst to this thing that there were no guide, like there were no guardrails, there was nothing to look up. I guess Fetch Your Life probably put up some crap, but nobody's looking at that. There were some things, but it's completely brand new. How did you react? What did you do? And how did day one and two go for you guys?
Yeah, I'll start. So in the last podcast, I mentioned I had never put hands on the game. Like, I didn't get to any of those LE events or even like a PAX, whatever, East, West, to try it. So I was super excited because, you know, for me and also in my day job and stuff, like, the combat mechanics is something I was very keen on figuring, you know, is this going to be the revolutionary, you know, thing that makes Path of Exile 2 way more enjoyable than Path of Exile 1? So like you mentioned, you know, all the sort of server issues that we were expecting and they were expecting and they kept warning us about to set expectations occurred. But again, it really wasn't that bad. A couple of hours. I was at work as well, but also, like, work that day was like play Path of Exile because you should. So I was in the queue and then I finally got in. I started on Mercenary. And I wanted to be spoiler free. I was watching streams. I was trying to, like, find streams where people were going really slowly and, like, doing the lore thing and stuff so they wouldn't get too far ahead. And that for me was just like a soak it all in kind of moment, like seeing the skills, reading through all the, you know, the pains and whatnot, hovering over all the different ailments and just seeing, like, all that information and flooding the brain with, like, this is what Path of Exile 2 is now. Felt so good, man, from that nerdy ARPG aspect. I was just in heaven. And then just the visceral aspect of it, you know, fighting the boss for the first time, the Hillock replacement, if you will. And doing that on, I started mouse and keyboard. So I had, you know, I talked with a bunch of different people. Echo Hack had convinced me to start with controller. And then a lot of people were talking about WASD. And I just went with mouse and keyboard because I was like, I'm most familiar with this. And it wasn't bad. It was not bad. And I was really impressed by the fact that, like, even though I was still doing, like, the, you know, League of Legends, like, click in front of me, click behind me, click in front of me, click behind me kind of stutter step thing, they built in enough intricacy where you actually get to backpedal and get some of that movement as if you were WASDing with the mouse. And I just thought even that was like a cool experience. So that's where I'll just start, but there's so much more to discuss there too.
I am a chronic controller player. I have wicked carpal tunnel. I've pushed to 99 too many times in Diablo 2. Yeah, shout outs. You know, I'm not sponsored, but I have worked with them before. They're a great company. So, and it's like not, it's really bad. It's really, really bad in Path of Exile 2. It's god awful. I'm sorry. Controller support is like absolutely trash city. Mostly you can't swap between controller and mouse and keyboard on the fly while playing on PC. So it's not like you can play on controller and then swap to mouse and keyboard for inventory, which is what I'm used to. I know their team is looking into it. I know their team is putting a ton of time and effort to make this as accessible as possible. I'm a little bit confused by the twin stick shooter aspect of it. I'm not sure if I'm supposed to have a claw grip and have six different macro paddles, but that's neither here nor there. So playing the game for the first time. Sorry. I was also playing on mouse and keyboard. I love the drift with skills. It keeps getting me killed in my ascendancy because I use the blink skill and then my character keeps walking into the fireball. And I'm like, hey, dog, what you doing? But no, I mean, walking up to that first person, zombie crawls over, eats them, drops a wand. All of a sudden, I have a skill that I need to read 8 pages of information on. I do. And I'm like, oh, sick. This is what it does. And then I'm just bone blasting everything to death. A really, really good first impression, especially through the first act. I'm obviously playing the witch because everybody, as you can see here, I have to be a witch because I'm a necromancer class main. And I had to play minions. Minions were absolutely trash city. I hit up Gazzy and I was like, hey man, why do minions suck? And he's like, oh, raging spirits. And I was like, yeah, that's what I clicked. Okay, all right, great, I'm on the right track here. And now that I'm getting into the later game, like minions are a lot better once you can actually scale them. But just sitting down and playing the game for the first time, having it be completely new, nobody knows the answers. Everybody's just like, oh, I just killed this boss, and oh, you're gonna get a thing from this quest, and you know, I didn't realize we hated Fextra Life, so I had to close my Fextra Life build guide on how to play a witch. Obviously, no, but that was probably one of the more exciting things. Was just like, nobody is quite sure what combination of these skills are the best, and just trying them all, like the change to how they've done skills. While I liked the links in items because that made bases feel a bit more like important to me, like picking up like white bases other than just like randomly crafting on them felt a bit better. But just being able to be like, I don't like this skill anymore, goodbye. Okay, here's a new skill. What does this one do? And I don't like that one, goodbye. I've tried every single projectile that exists for both the occultist or both the witch and the sork, you know, the sork skills. A lot of fun just kind of like walking in and doing it. I have some pain points after that, but I'm finally into like end game mapping at this point. And the progression the entire time has had a very, very good constant, you know, new carrot on the stick, new carrot, new thing to work towards. And I think they have the core of the game, like what the game needs to offer to players. You know, they've had 10 years to build it over in POE1. They just took it, slowed it down and refined it to a really fine polish. So I think they're kind of knocking it out of the park right now.
I think it is a nice testament to the game itself, as you're saying, like you're going and swapping and trying things out, that like you almost forget how much is actually missing, that like there's a myriad of skills that aren't there. Swords aren't in the game. Swords, like one of those kind of quintessential items of an ARPG. I was playing earlier and I saw somebody in chat going like, has anybody got like a dual wield build? And then the immediate response was, yeah, but like the swords aren't even in the game, man. Like just give it some time. Like those are going to come up. But like, it's so easy to forget that. Like, as we're talking about like opening things up, like when those things drop, when six new classes drop, and of course all the ascendancies that come with it. Oh, I don't know how I'm going to bother on that. Now, I had talked I want to see where you guys fell on this when the bosses, as you were entering through the story, how much did you hate that first boss in Act 2? The hyena.
Oh, Scar? You mean Scar from the Lion King with his with his army. I walked up. I was just like, be prepared for the chance of a lifetime. I was like, what am I looking at right now?
That's amazing.
Yeah. So that boss, I had to fight that boss almost three times as long as I had to fight the act boss of Act One, like Cold Wolf from Elden Ring. Sif's Hound or whatever it is. Shout out to Sif. Wolf Wit Sword for a hand mouth. That was like two or three attempts on the build that I was playing. And I was like, oh, okay, I get it. Yeah, you got to do this thing. We're going to do the cold fog. He's going to dash through it. Cool. Walked into Act Two, didn't even realize I was fighting a boss. I walked up to the plateau. You know, Mufasa was there. And he's Simba. And sorry, Rafiki. And then that dude just put me in the ground for an hour and a half straight. Just straight up put me in the ground. It was heinous. Yeah, it's a cool boss though.
I think I came across similarly, being surprised that it was just like, hey, we're in this new town. I figured they were gonna ease us in. I was gonna get to, you know, walk through a new environment, pick up some stuff. But it's like, no, you fight a couple, you know, white mobs, and then boom, this guy's here, and they're throwing projectiles at you. And here's what happened to me: is I died once, and I was like, all right, that's not gonna happen again. And then I went in, I fought him, I got it done. I got swarmed at the end because I let my guard down. I was like, oh, cool, loot's on the ground. I can't wait to pick all that up. Got swarmed, got killed. The loot disappears. If you die after you fight the boss, the loot goes away. So I like so salty. The wound was open and just a little bit of salt got poured in there. It was great.
That same thing happened to me. At the end of, we're jumping ahead just a little bit, I promise I won't spoil anything, but the end of Act 3, Cruel, I killed the boss, swept him, like, minions were too strong. And I'm just kind of, like, talking to chat now, and I turn over, and he had an effect he had shot out into the arena that just very slowly walked over it and just death lasered me. And I was like, what's happening? And then the quest couldn't figure out what I did, because it's like, hold on, you killed the guy, and you're supposed to be going to the end game, but you're dead. And then I just had to like reboot my character three or four times and go through the entirety of the, like, it sent me back to Act One, Cruel, because it was like, I don't know what to do, man. You're in Cruel again. I'm like, no. I'm not running through these maps again.
You found the wrong warp.
yeah. I wrong warped in the reverse. It was very bad. But yeah, dude, the loot going away when you die is just like such, it's heinous. It feels so bad. Because I don't pay attention. I just die all the time after something's dead. I'm like, oh, God, please just let me have my stuff. I deserve it.
Figured it'd be over, especially with EA early access being what it is too. Like, sometimes there have been bugs where boss effects will, like, kind of what you're saying, right? Like, the boss is dead, but some boss effects will stay out. And you figure they would clean up. Like, if the boss is dead, it shouldn't be able to do anything else to you. But, you know, there's like the Titan, I think, in Act 2 in particular, has just a lot of weird bugs going on.
Yep.
I've seen one where if you kill him while he's in the middle of doing the death spiral laser thing, just keeps going and going and going. It's like makes like a toilet of lasers. It's crazy.
Yeah, I caught that one as well. That's my nightmare. Guys, how I've been thinking about trying to play hardcore. When I was at the event in LA, I thought, there's no way I could ever do this. This is ridiculous. I'm on my third run through to maps. I think I might try it. I think I'm ready to start wasting my time.
Yeah. Hey, so there's this great game. It's called Sid Meier's Civilization. You start a game and you play it for about 45 hours straight, and then Gandhi at the end nukes you and you lose. I would recommend doing that, because you at least know you get to play for 45 hours before Gandhi nukes you. This game is heinous. Now, luckily, in the most recent patch, they fixed some of the more like wild and like outlandish, like insane damage nukes that were happening. But I turn a corner and it's just like, oh, here's a multi-shot ball lightning something something, and it one taps you. I have 2000 life, 2000 mana, 1000 energy shield, capped res, 40% PDR. and I get one tapped and I go, I actually don't know what has killed me. I've not learned from this situation. I don't even know what mob it was. It just came around a corner and stopped me. But power to you, my friend. You tell me how long it takes you to get to Act 3.
There's a popular Kriparian video going around where he talks about his experience doing hardcore and getting into maps where, like you just touched on perfectly, Macro, there's a lot of highly untuned or overtuned stuff going on and you do get one shot. And so it doesn't feel like, I don't think traditionally ARPGs are balanced around hardcore, which I don't think they should be. But it definitely feels like this would be the most volatile time to play hardcore because the game itself is just so unbalanced, regardless of what you're tuning for. So it would maybe be, you know, a Sisyphean effort for you to keep. But if you got time, I mean, vacation's coming up. It's the holidays.
Yeah, it's the holidays. It's a perfect time to be pissed at a video game.
It's true. I'm really liking my current character, and I'm gonna keep playing with that one for a while. But I will more than likely meander on over to hardcore. I just feel the pull now. I feel like, okay, I've done this a few times. I'm ready for the struggle. I'm ready to just die on the beach continuously for a while. Run out of new names for whatever my character ends up being. Just see. And what was comical is I asked the same question when I was in LA, and Octavian, one of the developers, had the most gamer attitude about it. He's like, yeah, it's going to be tough, but like, think of if you get to maps, like how much money you will make by selling all the good bases. It was just like, yeah, it'll be hard, but like, if you do it, you're going to end up rich. So it's a risk reward kind of thing, guys. Okay. So we talked a little Act 1, Act 2, and I think you're absolutely right. Trying to keep it as spoiler free because people are still journeying through this, and the story is also not even finished and it could change. So let's not hark too much to it. When did the game get its hooks into you? Because I know you guys are both obviously still playing. You didn't abandon it. When did it really kind of sink in? You're like, oh yeah, this is a game I'm going to keep playing for a while.
When I switched to Ranger.
What'd you start as?
A mercenary.
I can't do the mercenary. I'm sorry. He pulls out his cool crossbow and it's like, look at this sick crossbow. And then he unloads 12 RPGs into a field of gas and it explodes. And I'm like, where did those grenades come from? Like, just give homie a gun. Like, stop pretending. Like, the crossbow has this just banana clip of grenades in it. I'm sorry. My immersion in my fantasy game. Sorry, continue.
Yeah, you gotta stretch your mind a bit for that one, for sure. The reason I was drawn to it initially, I think I talked about this a little bit last podcast, was it is unique in that sense, right? Like, it's kind of trying to do something different. And it's, I believe it's the reason why they did the WASD thing to begin with, because they wanted movement and shooting at the same time. And that revolutionized kind of the combat for them. So I was like, okay, I got to see what this pinnacle, like, you know, thing that changed the game for them, literally, what's so captivating about this. And to be fair, I do see a lot of interesting mechanics there. Like, I like, you know, I think this is rife throughout the classes where there's a lot of combo mechanics with the, you know, for right now in Ranger with me, there's lightning rods, you shoot lightning arrows into them and you get a cool explosion thing going on, chain lightning and stuff. On the mercenary, the main one right now is gas cloud and the myriad ways to explode that, whether using a detonator or a fire skill. There was like flame wall shenanigans that got nerfed. But for me, like, I think I just was trying to find a home within the class that felt not so combo setup-y, because two things. One, the idea of being able to move and shoot is cool in theory, but the monsters move so fast and your movement speed penalty is so extreme that, like, when you're locked into that, like, back pedal and you're trying to shoot something and set up a combo, like, they're already moving past my grenade clouds, and maybe I'm just bad at setting it up. I'll admit that. But it didn't feel great for me. And then you add on to that the reload times if you're trying to switch ammos. And there's just a lot of clunk that I know, like, as you get deeper into the passive tree, can solve some of that with faster reload and, you know, faster grenade explosions and such. But I don't know. It was really rough in the early game. And I think that may be just a mercenary thing in general. When I switched to Ranger and then eventually ascended to Deadeye, it just felt like I was playing, I felt like I was playing POE 1 again, to be honest with you. It was so much faster. I mean, Tailwind has always just been insane. But like the damage out of the box for a lot of the skills just felt, you know, more strong. The combos themselves, like, it just, there wasn't the reload time, so things were happening a lot faster. And then you've got like action speed that's making things happen quicker too. So I think once I got into that gameplay and felt like really at home with being able to feel how the update to the mechanics and the combat was done for PoE 2, and then just like feel that oomph of the damage and everything, like it that was when I was like, okay, I'm playing PoE 2. I love this game right now. I want to see how far I can take this. And got into maps recently, and I'm still having a blast, still loving that gameplay.
For me, like when my build clicked together is when it first sunk its teeth in, because I was really, really struggling on minions. And there was a point where I was like, all right, I'm looking at this kind of like chaos contagion combo. I'm just going to build into a bunch of dot stuff, which oddly enough wouldn't have been that great until they very recently buffed it. And I was like, no, I have to make minions work. Like, I have to make this be a minions build, or one, nobody's going to care about what I'm talking about. But like, two, I don't just want it to be, oh, I don't like this, I'm not going to do it. Like, I want to try. And I finally got my next spirit gem, where I was able to get raging spirits, because, you know, I picked whatever the recommended, whatever grim feast or whatever. And I was like, this is nothing. I don't care about energy shield. Good job. And then I had a damage source, and then the puzzle pieces started fitting together. It's like, okay, so the flame ball is going to work really well for this. Oh, I have the arson. Oh, they have projectiles. The projectiles will fly through. Everybody's doing fire damage. Oh, I'll use exposure and I'll use flammability. Now I'm reducing the resistances. Oh, that works for them and it works for me. What kind of skills? Oh, I'll use fireball. Oh, fireball's not that great. I'll actually use spark. Spark's a projectile. I'll go through the flame wall and then the flame wall, and I'm going to be able to shock every once in a while, so I don't have to use the storm. And like, the megazord of, I have three different avenues of damage output that are all coming from the same build, and they're synergistic, even though only these stats work for my minions and only these stats work for me. And now the figuring out how to make survivability work and figuring out, oh, I can't just keep putting damage into my passive tree because I'm going to need mana regen because I'm using Mind Over Matters now. I have energy shield from D2, but mana is my life now. And oh, that means I have to use this. And should I use Eldritch Battery? Well, it's going to do this, but then I don't have energy shield to protect my mana. And it's like, that's exactly where I think clearly PoE excels at, is that thing. Like, I put in this one support gem, and that now modifies the outcome of the rest of my build, even though it's only on a single skill. And, you know, people, just like you, Xanth, just like people are telling me for years, they're like, why are you not playing this game? This is what your brain does. Why are you not doing it so that people can play the game? And there's still a lot of weird stuff. It's still like, okay, let me go reread ailment to, okay, so right. So it's only a single ailment, but it's the strongest ailment, but the ailment magnitude is post the calculation or whatever. So that means I can only increase, and like, it's sitting there and doing that for 2 hours straight. Well, I just kind of like stare at a screen, and the fact that anybody watches my stream is insane, because it's just me like staring at a screen like this and then going, oh, okay. And then I just go back to playing and nothing has changed, because the conclusion I reached is, oh, I don't have to change anything. But like, yeah, it was when the puzzle pieces started filling all together, and I was like, oh, this isn't just a list of buffs to make my fireball do more damage. It is a list of overlapping systems that will all add up to these different avenues of handling combat scenarios, depending on what's going on. That being said, I want to touch on what you said, though, Leviathan, where it's just like, obviously, I didn't play a lot of PoE 1. Like I said, I was playing like a Chieftain build. I just remembered it was Leap Slam and Infernal Blow. So it was just like, convert everything over to fire, do an AoE fire attack, Leap Slam my way through the entire map. I feel like I'm riding on a decrepit snail that is obeying all of the traffic lights, and the monsters in this game are still playing PoE 1. Like, there are these little demons I'm positive they don't do any damage, but all they do is sprint at you at full force and you are constantly backpedaling. And I'm just terrified that they're going to kill me. I'm positive they do no damage, but they are just so in your face the entire time. It gives me like actual agita or anxiety for non-Italians. Like every single monster feels like if it wants to, it just is in my face and there's nothing I can do about that. And I'm like, hey, you can't have me running on 20% movement speed with no mobility skills and then also have me deal with this. I don't know. We have to come to some kind of compromise, GGG, honestly.
Yeah, it's... I was having a conversation with a friend recently who's a huge PoE... Like, he has tens of thousands of hours in PoE 1. And I think we came to the conclusion that, like, GGG wants you to care a lot about crowd control in PoE 2. And you can see it actually with a lot of the new ones that they introduced, like Pin, Electrocute, Mame was an old one, but it kind of comes to mind as well. Or there are all these like supports and things that you can, you have to make the sacrifice. Like, I'm not taking a damage link here to, you know, just obliterate the thing before it gets to me. But I do feel like maybe there is a push and pull right now where we want to just find whatever the biggest, you know, one tap explosion we can make. Where maybe there is some sort of like the reason they're giving us, you know, a ton of skills and you can six link all of them is that they want you to press that button that will slow the enemy and also shred its armor and also stun it and also like, you know, give you a way to control that battlefield a bit more. So the moment to moment combat is kind of mattering more. But I agree with you that like at some point it just breaks down because the rares will get hasted in maps and then like they're just running at you at 3000% movement speed. And again, you have 20, so good luck with that. And every build just becomes a melee build. Like it's, yeah, there's still some stuff to figure out there.
Somebody's like, oh, it's going to be really tough for you because you're in melee. And I'm like, I'm a backline army support witch. I'm not supposed to be the front line, but these monsters have never been on an aggro list with anything other than me on it, populating it. Apparently I have 14 skeletons in front of you. They're like, nah, 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 nah. I'm coming for you, boss. And I'm like, damn, these are smart zombies who are rushing me down right now.
That's fair. To share a little bit of my experience from the press beta, I pushed Chronomancer. I locked in on Sorcerer or Sorceress. I was just like, this is the class. I'm gonna do this. I want to be able to stop time. And started as Lightning. I'm like, okay, I want to make this work. I did not, in fact, make it work. I stumbled onto Summon Raging Spirits, just like you, Macaron. And I was like, oh, I can make this work, though, because I need those little guys to maybe keep me alive. Because I've got a limited time, and I need to get to maps, or whatever review I can give is going to be shit. Because it doesn't matter if the campaign's great if the end game doesn't work. So I dabbled in Summon Raging Spirits and then Cast on Minion Death came. I was like, oh, things are lining up for good old Xanth. Kept speeding through. And then like 3 days before the server was going to go down, they did a patch and it wiped out half my gems. Thankfully, there were people in trade who could trade me a few things, and I was able to get through and then made my way to maps. But I put that character aside because it was just, that was fun. It got me to where I needed to be. But when launch comes, I want to do something else. That was a monk. I went with an acolyte monk, and I'm here to tell you, you shouldn't do that. Acolyte monk is not. I think it can work. I don't think I'm the person to figure that out. It just doesn't feel right. I knew when I went into Acolyte, maybe it was the picture that fooled me. I'm like, oh, this is gonna be good. Like, look at how purple it is. It's gonna be awesome. I get to play in the Breach the whole time. It lags by comparison. But the house that stood. I went to a mercenary in Leviathan. And I was shooting out lasers left and right, but then I remembered something. The Gemling Legionnaire. I'm a monk now who's a mercenary who's strength stacking with Pillar of the Caged God, and it's a one button gameplay now, guys. I just stand there, I smack them with my stick, and they can't kill me. And I am in love with this build, and I love the journey that I have been able to experience in getting here. I'm literally playing the same class, or I'm literally playing the same play style, but I went to a different class to get there, and it works. I could go back to crossbow, I could go back to something else, but I'm not gonna do that. I'm gonna keep smacking things with my stick and living forever, because it's fucking awesome. But like, kind of coming back to what you were saying before, Macro, like those pieces of like putting things together, of like getting a build online and like feeling pretty good about it, like, oh wait, I can do that, I can do that, and there's so many different pieces yet to be uncovered. I can't wait for somebody to figure out how to do the Acolyte Monk so I can go back to that character that just parked there right now.
I have to tell you that I was watching a stream, and so now that the game is out, you know, all the third party things are starting to come online, and there is an aggregator of ascendancy popularity. The Acolyte is the second least played right now. And I think the first was, I forget. It might be Blood Mage. Maybe Blood Mage was the third least. But so you were correct in feeling that your Acolyte stuff wasn't so hot, because apparently the internet agrees with you. I think that also is a testament to Invoker, the other choice for Monk, just being really good right now too.
I did just go look up Acolyte Monk's picture for the first time. I get why you picked it. That thing looks super cool. Looks like the bad dude from Doctor Strange. He looks awesome. It's going to bend it looks very cool. I would pick that too.
It sounded really great. Like you can go into breach. Like you're constantly in a breach. And there's different fires that you can grab for lifesteal and mana steal, and then increased chaos damage. But it doesn't scale off of elemental. It's just physical. So when I was using my ice strike, I wasn't reaping any of those benefits, and it didn't feel right. I'm excited for somebody to figure it out, because I like chaos damage. I've always liked chaos damage. I want to make that work. And right now I've seen just a few builds out there, but the general consensus being that you should probably just go Invoker or find a class that's going to do it better. That's okay.
You just reminded me actually of part of my Ranger experience. I'll be brief on. Initially, I was just trying to decide which direction to go. And so like Macro was mentioning, I took all my uncut skills, and instead of leveling skills up, I was just always picking a new skill so I could try all the different arrows, all the different shots. And initially I was doing like a really weird poison and lightning combo. And I wanted to go full poison because I played a lot of, Toxic Rain from PoE1. And that was so much fun on Pathfinder. And so I was like, I want to recreate something like this. And I just noticed that the tree, at least where the Ranger is, and I think a lot of people have mentioned this as well. I know Zizzarin was trying to do like a Essence Drain Contagion. I think you had talked about that previously, Xanth. And just a lot of notes that like the chaos stuff isn't, like the scalers for it isn't there. And we are missing some ascendancies, right? So there might be one in the future, like an occultist or something that's going to be really good to scale any sort of chaos dot type stuff. But yeah, I wanted to do poison really badly, and there just wasn't enough like support there. And it's interesting too, because poison changed a bit with PoE2, where now you only by default stack one poison, and then there are nodes to take to get like plus one, but then you're trading like duration or magnitude, or like there's different ways to go about it. So maybe that's another thing too, where we just haven't figured out like the best way to do it yet.
Or someone listening has figured it out and can share it with us in the comments. That would be really cool. Just do me a solid, figure that build out, let me know, because he's just sitting there. He's so lonely. What, like, I see him every time I log in. I have to, like, I haven't bumped him from the top spot. He's the first in my heart. But then I have to go down and I choose the mercenary, because he's doing all that but better right now. So, you know, make him feel good. Figure it out for me, please. Okay. One of the things that I've noticed in the past week since launch is the growing divide in the community. I don't know if you guys have seen this. This very much feels like the D2 to D3 shift, where there's a large contingent of people that are super excited about the new game. They're enjoying the ride, and they're giving, like, feedback exists, and there should be feedback. There's problems with the game. There are things that aren't working, and GGG is receptive to that. But then there's another contingent that is just, I have played Path of Exile forever. This is too different, and it shouldn't exist because of that. Or I was hoping for Path of Exile 1, but it just where it would look like Path of Exile 2, and this is a different game. Have you guys been picking up on that?
1,000%. It's so it, all right. So there's a lot going on here because I think there are opinions developed at different points in the game, depending on where you get and like when you decide it's not for you. If you are one of those people in the mainline PoE one, ride till I die, I want to just zoom, then the campaign I feel like is going to be the most like grating different experience for you because you're obviously way weaker, way slower. You're dealing with a lot of the same stuff we've been talking about, like the combo setups, the combat is slower and all that. And I've seen opinions of the people who are like, the Lilies and the Jungrones and the long staunch like PoE 1 veterans who say the end game of PoE 2 actually feels a lot closer to PoE 1, almost to the point where they want to see some of that like campaign tactics come back. Because they want a game that feels different. They already have PoE 1, so they don't want PoE 2 to just be like a prettier version of PoE 1. And so I wonder for the people that, kind of stop playing maybe mid-campaign and go to Reddit and say, like, why isn't my PoE 2 like PoE 1? If they were to just continue playing through Cruel and get to like maps and stuff, if that opinion would change. But to me, that sort of is one part of the schism I'm seeing.
So what I can't bring you is an exact breakdown of how this community is interacting in that way. But what I can bring you is the experience of being that Diablo 2 player who picked up Diablo 3 and went, I don't actually want to do this again. It's, I've since matured past and grown past that thing because I was effectively still a child when Diablo 3 came out. But that experience of going, I've now played this game since it came out. I know every single thing about this game. I go to sleep dreaming about it. I'm finally going to get a sequel to it. It looks different. It feels different. When I go to click the buttons, they don't do the same thing that they did before. And I put this support gem on this thing in a menu I'm not used to looking at, and it didn't do the exact same thing. How dare they do this to me? I think it is impossible for developers to grow and attempt to service the old guard of the franchise in a meaningful way in video games when we're talking about these big of gaps between games existing. If PoE 2 was 4 or 5 years after PoE 1 had all of its success, they finally had the money to bankroll it, they could make right on all the things they always wanted to do, I think we'd be having a much different conversation. Similar if Diablo 3 was 2 or 3 years after Lord of Destruction dropped, we'd be having a much different, conversation. But you put a decade in between two things and expect the next game to be the same. I don't think a developer can be successful in onboarding all the new people and keeping everybody happy from the previous game. Something that I haven't necessarily seen other people touch on yet, but just like, to point to something that has happened in this space. We're currently in like the golden age of ARPGs for all intents and purposes. Not for the things that would define the genre moving forward. Maybe, maybe PoE 2 does that. But in the amount of big companies all in the space trying to do this thing but new, Diablo 4 brought on an insane number of brand new people to the genre. Because it's an incredibly, casual friendly couch co-op. You're meant to be playing it on Game Pass with your buddy. and you're supposed to put a couple hours in, you're supposed to do a couple boss runs. All of those people are consuming content. They're watching streamers. They're, oh, there's a new, it's a new game. And it's just like the old D2 I used to remember, but it's called Path of Exile. Oh, I'll try out that. You have all these new people, not just from the PoE space, but from other ARPGs coming in and being like, well, what do you guys do? And keeping those people happy, the people who are going to be playing your game for the next 10 years, is that the priority? Or is it making sure that every single person who already had an account on the original website gets onboarded to the new game? I don't know how they're going to succeed at, especially with this, this flat out statement, we're going to keep them both going in perpetuity. I don't even know how you develop for two games that are functionally very, very similar, but literally the gems won't be the same between the two. I don't know how you do that. Hats off to them for even trying to take on that task, because that's insane. But that experience of how dare this game be different than the thing that I love, it is now a tale as old as time, because games have finally been developing for long enough for us to see this symptom of that pain point.
You know, I honestly have an answer to that question, at least a part of that question, Macro. I had messaged Jonathan before I was doing my little review for Kind of Funny, and I said, since PoE has an amazing core group of fans that have already followed the company for years and you guys have nurtured, how are you preparing to handle a much larger amount of success, not just the servers, and keep that core identity? His response: I think the main thing is that we already have a strong idea about the game we want to make. Certainly, we listen to the player base when it comes to the problems, what the problems are, but we always come up with our own solutions to those problems. And that's how we keep our identity, I think. Now, how you make two games at the same time, I didn't ask that.
No, I think, it's easy for me to say this, but if anybody has watched my stream, there is something that I try to point out all the time, and it's very inspiring to hear Jonathan be that honest about it. At the end of the day, these developers are artists creating something that they love, and they are sharing that with the world. And yes, you want the players to give you feedback. Yes, you want people to enjoy your thing. Yes, it's a service. Yes, you want to be financially successful. But you are making the art that you want to be making, and sometimes that will go against the desires of the people who believe that you're making it for them. And I try to remind my community all the time about that reality. Like, we may not like what's happening. We can disagree with the thing that's happening. All that we can do is give our feedback. And if they're receptive to it, the artist may change their art. We see these games as a service that's being done for us, or at least here in the United States, it's a little bit shitty, to be honest. Like, how dare you not make the thing that I love? But like, do you go to a museum and look at the art on the wall and go, no, different, I want a different shade of red? You might, but like, nobody would take you seriously, right? There's definitely a balance there, but it's very refreshing to just straight up hear him say, oh, we are doing what we want to do, and if people vibe with that, sick. That's pretty Chad right there, I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, I feel like for Path of Exile, the keyword's always been the vision. You know, like, what is Chris Wilson, seeing in his mind that he wants Path of Exile to be, even 5 years, 10 years from now. And I think Jonathan, rightfully so, is staying in line with that sort of tact where, like, yes, there are going to be tons of videos where people are doing their feedback and the Reddit is, all agreeing on this one thing. I think we can look specifically at, the cost to refund passes, right? And the that in combination with how aggressive they were being on stamping out a lot of the high outlier things we talked about, like some of the cast on stuff that Macro was talking about and Xanth mentioned too. And, like some of that stuff, just they didn't realize how crazy players would make it with the interactions. And so they nerfed it, right? And that left people in this sort of weird spot of like, I invested all I had into this build. I want to pivot. And you also have made it impossible for me to change my ascendancy, which often is like, the crux of how a build, comes together. So either I go back to the campaign, which I felt like I had already finished with and wanted to just be an endgame and start all over again, or like I try to redo my tree and like make the most of what I can. But again, it's so cost prohibitive. Like, where is, you know, GGG going to lend us some rope to help ourselves so we can keep testing and playing early access? And I think, you know, I've seen a decent amount of conversation around it. And one thing that I think I agreed with was GGG went out the gate with what they intend the system to ultimately be, which is, hey, we want high respec cost because we want players to feel that sense of permanence. You have made these decisions. It should hurt or feel really painful to undo them. And ideally, if you're undoing it, you're starting on just a whole new, like, you know, palette, a whole new slate, a whole new character. For EA, that kind of grates against that, right? Because this is supposed to be like a highly iterative testing period for the players and for them to get the feedback and then make changes. And so it kind of goes against like, hey, let me help you test the game because you're not giving me enough like wiggle room to have resources and things to, you know, quickly shift when the meta is changing or when skills are going up and down and whatnot. And so I think like with them ultimately deciding to lower those refund costs, it was kind of like, yes, we are maybe compromising the vision a little bit, but it's again a reaction like what Macro is saying to some of the like, well, the players have a voice in this and we want to listen to some of that too. But like, I wouldn't be surprised if actually at the end of EA, those costs maybe go up, like maybe not to what they originally were, but back up, just because I think it would still align with like where they are trying to push the game. That's just my guess.
That point right there, the respec cost, because obviously everybody was talking about it like, oh my god, I can't respec, I've bricked my build, I can't respec, I bricked my build. And in Path of Exile, that's a bit more true. Like quite literally, once you get deep enough into this tree, like the stats you picked don't work anymore, then they arguably, it's just you're less efficient. But like, I understand the mentality. I think the biggest problem there, and why when they first put out their patch notes, they're like, hey, if we walk this back now, it's going to be so much harder for us to put these prices back up where we think that they should be. I think that this is the player base being our own enemy. Regardless of what the truth is, the history is, the quotes, the videos you can point to, the moment early access ends, the moment the game releases, if they put those gold costs back up, GGG is nerfing us. They're making the game inorganically disrespect my time. I have some other issues where I think it disrespects my time, but hopefully we can get to that. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what the truth of it was. They could, in every single patch notes, they could say, remember, we're going to increase the gold costs when the game releases. This is just so that you can test it better. It doesn't matter what they say. Everything the developer does that minimizes your power in any way, shape, or form is taken as like a personal insult to the player who learns about it. And then it's just flames on the internet. We see it all the time with Blizzard, no matter what they've said. Like not to go on a tangent, but like we made Blizzard promise that they wouldn't nerf builds in the middle of a season, even if there were bugs. And then the Spiritborn happened and everybody forgot that all of a sudden. I can point you to the live stream where they said, we are sorry, we'll never do that again. And now people are like, why aren't you doing it? And GGG will be in the exact same spot regardless. Like I see the, we'll call them very passionate people on the internet is a nice way to refer to them. Who are just like, GGG sold my firstborn child effectively. That's what they did to me. And I'm like, homie, it's an early access period for a game that won't release potentially for a year. Like you have to, like these characters aren't real. Like none of this is a thing. You didn't buy a character.
The game has only been out for a week.
And they sold my firstborn child when they had the audacity to nerf my gas cloud. I don't know what to tell you. Like they did this to me. No, but that's the stuff that you see on the internet. And it's just, it just points to how like reality doesn't matter. It's purely perception. So every time they give ground like that, I sound like such an anti-consumerist here. It's just, I know what developers go through at this point. It sucks. And it's just rough. And I just know every inch that they give the moment that this game releases and they bump any of that back up, it's going to be pitchforks in the night.
I think, let's go back to my Acolyte. Because you kind of have hinted on it. Ascendancy is locked in. We've seen him walk back a little bit on respec costs. In Path of Exile 1, you can change your ascendancy. It's not a hard process. That is something they didn't walk back. Macro, I think I know what your opinion is as if they should or shouldn't, but maybe I'm wrong. Is that something you think as this continues on and marches towards release that we end up with the ability to swap our ascendancies, or do you think that'll stay?
So I think that's actually like a fairly deep question, all things considered, and I won't go that deep. I think the fact that I can do basically 2 to 3 different things on the ascendancy that I'm currently playing is already enough wiggle room where they say, basically, you didn't start a character and then pick an ascendancy. You chose to play the game as an ascendancy, and these are the builds that are possible from that. So when you want to play your next build, you're actually just playing a different ascendancy. Like, yes, the class determines that. I understand that. But since the class doesn't matter other than what ascendancies exist and what weapon drops off that dude when he gets eaten by a zombie, really what you're picking is the ascendancy. And I think that's fine, because that first part of it, like, it takes so long because you don't have the gear. Okay, you got some twink gear. Now you have a couple of like the really good uniques. That helmet that just has 5 of every stat. There you go. But whatever you are, you're now viable. You have enough stats to be viable. I think that's already in a good enough place. The fact that you can respec the points in the ascendancy so you don't screw it up permanently. Like, you know, back in D2, and you're like, oops, I put a point into Nova for no reason. I guess my fireball Sork is literally dead. You know, we've come a long way, and the game is reflective of that ideology where it's like, you are choosing to play this build. If you end up not liking it, go play a different build. Don't keep just trying to do this build again.
Mm-hmm.
Do I agree with that? I don't know, man. It's a video game. Why are we punishing players for anything at all? But if that's important to your vision, if that's part of the aesthetic, if that's part of like what makes the game important, sure. And I think where it is right now is fine.
But I want to be an invoker. And I don't want to work for it.
It's like 5 hours, man. You put on Twin Gear, you'll get there. Yeah, it's Path of Exile. You're in for 10,000, you know?
To be fair, I think these are like new game problems, actually. Like, I think some of this stuff is going to go away because I remember even like pre-release, I was talking with one of my friends and they were really worried that like ascendancies being permanent was scary because it was such an early decision for a player to be making, right? Like, you come across one of the trials in one of the early acts. And once that's done, you are faced with that choice and you don't yet know at that moment, like, or maybe you do, right? Maybe you went in with a plan, but like, if you're just kind of exploratory playing, you're like, I guess this thing sounds cool. The picture, right? The Acolyte picture looks really cool. I'm going that way. And then you find out later down the road that like, oh, this doesn't work with like the fantasy of what I wanted to do in my head and all that. And you can't undo that, right? Especially when like so much of the rest of the game, they're are options to undo. Some hurt more than others. So there is a little friction there just for players experiencing it in the different ways that they might. But I do think that, like, at least for me, I appreciate the idea of like, hey, this is sort of where you're drawing the line of like, I am AX. Because in the past, I don't think Path of Exile has had a lot of class fantasy. It usually does end up in the ascendancy, and then that sort of dictates the build, like Macro astutely pointed out. But like, I don't know. I think this direction of like, hey, you know, we're tying skills to weapons, and you have these like release videos where like the marquee weapon for the monk is the quarterstaff, and you see them doing like cool strikes and stuff. And we're getting a little bit more of that fantasy through that. And so like, maybe that's enough to satisfy that urge for me, but like, I think ascendancy still matters so much that like, you should sort of like dedicate yourself to it. And now that we have the information, we've seen all the different nodes for what's in each ascendancy and stuff, like you're kind of making a more informed choice, especially as time goes on. I wonder if this will be as big of a problem as it feels like it is right now.
Only time will tell, and I think that's we'll come back to that. We'll come back to the predictions. I checked the time. We've been talking for so long already. Yeah. Let's get to struggles a little bit. It's only been a week. Where are your pain points with Path of Exile 2 currently?
I don't understand why this game actually refuses to respect the fact that I am a mortal human being who will eventually shed this coil, and I can only watch my character very slowly walk back down the fifth dead end with nothing in it. They added the ability to teleport to waypoints. Fun fact, if you don't come to a waypoint, you can't teleport. Every other map I open up, there's like a whole inlet. Like I'm walking. It's like I saw like 30 yards of the game. And I get to the, meters with an RE. And I get to the end of it and there's literally nothing there. There weren't even monsters. There isn't a chest. And then I turn around and then I walk down the other hallway. In Act 3, I happen to find the Viper boss fight very quickly. I just hugged the right wall and I found it. I went, okay, I need to go find the altar to sacrifice the heart so I can go get my point. And I walked down, no joke, a third of a full map, and it ended in a big square. There was nothing there, and the only connection point was back where I fought the boss. It was 7 minutes of my life accomplishing nothing. Now, people are telling me, well, you explore, you find the mechanics, you find the stuff. You're not exploring. That is an illusion. You are walking through an empty map of useless experience, and then you don't get to where you need to go. Please, from the bottom of my heart, cut every single map in half and change the procedural generation of the tile layout so that there are no dead ends. I would rather walk through a huge jug handle and come out on the other side of the map, still walk the same distance, but not have to backtrack. Diablo 4 had to learn this. Path of Exile has been a game for a very long time. I don't know how it got here. Maybe in PoE 1, everybody didn't notice it because you could leap slam at max attack speed. Maybe that was it. I'm not sure, dude. I will sound like a hater, and I will say this until they start respecting our time. It is insane how much of my gameplay has been walking backwards. And it's completely unjustified, just fully.
I have so many thoughts about this. So spoilers, Xanth sort of gave us some of the talking points before we started here tonight. And I wrote down little just reminders for myself. And under struggles, I literally had, man, it takes a really long time if you're exploring maps to find what you need to find. And it's funny that you mentioned like you're not exploring, because I wonder if it would feel better if they had enough of those sort of like mini events, you know, like on the map, on the, when you press U and it takes 18 years to load for it. Why is the map take time? Anyways,
they have to load everybody's maps at the same time to do a callback joke to Diablo 4. It's everybody in your server. You have to all load maps simultaneously.
There it is. Yeah, so, you know, when you're looking at that lovely overlay of the world map, there are those points of interest sort of things around there to let you know, hey, there's cool stuff happening in this zone. I wonder if there were just more of those, if the dead ending wouldn't feel as bad, but it probably still would. I totally agree with you that, like, maps are just so large, and each act, it just gets bigger and bigger. So we're only seeing acts 1 through 3. Like, is act 6 just going to be one map? Like,
it's just the Atlas map. Like, they're like, oh, my God.
It's actually I do hope. Tree.
Oh God. I do hope they cut it down a bit. I agree with you that like I the thing is like I think the environments are so cool. Like each area feels very distinct. There's a lot of love and care that goes into each of them, but you don't have to show it to me, you know, all at once. Like break it up, make it a little smaller, chunkable, digestible pieces. And I think that would go a long way.
That is something I've definitely felt as I've gone through the campaign now 3 times. And then technically, I guess it would be 6 because you do it 3 times in a row or you do it twice. I would have hoped I was getting better as I was hitting the 6th time. And to still be getting lost in certain areas does feel kind of frustrating, because playing Path of Exile 1 for years, and not to kind of go back to our previous conversation, but you can get better at the campaign. Like, I know where I'm going. I know what to skip. And even having done this, they're like, oh, yeah, I don't need to go do that. It's just a gem or whatever. I'll save some time. And then, yeah, I get I can't find the sacrificial altar for 20 plus minutes because I took that wrong turn, or I can't find the witch to get the extra spirit because she's in the middle of the map this time. And why was she there?
She shouldn't be there. That's not where the marker generally points in the direction, kind of. And you know, it doesn't help. And obviously this is early access. It doesn't help that like some of the quests don't work, right? There's a quest in Act 2, like down in the mines, the somebody's tools. It just doesn't work. I ran through that map 3 times over and I was like, where is this thing? And then finally somebody in chat was like, oh, that's bugged. It doesn't work. And I went, oh, that's crazy. That's 20 minutes of my life. Look, I'm in my 30s now already. I'm trying to buy a house and retire, I guess. I don't know.
Foot in the grave.
Yeah, basically. You know, look, this hair is not going to keep pushing back every year unless I manage to figure out something. No, but it's that. And just to be a crybaby about just like one other part about it too. The maps are insanely beautiful. I can't see a single thing in this game. An elite monster will be standing on top of me doing an AoE attack and I haven't seen them because I haven't dealt damage to them yet. So they don't have a health bar above their head. Monsters don't have health bars until you deal damage to them. I would have been a terrible prey animal. I would have been eaten by a saber-toothed tiger. No question. Because camouflage works on me. Half of the stuff in this game doesn't get transparent when you walk behind it. I died in an ascension trial because an AoE explosion attack went behind a wall and I went back and watched the tape. You physically can't see it. And then I died to it. I don't know if that's a PoE thing, but like I'm also playing flame wall. So I can't use the typical like contrast and brightness cheat code to kind of differentiate things because flame wall burnt my retinas out. So I have to turn all that stuff back down. I've changed every graphic setting. I've moved every slider. The game's lack of visual clarity is it's like disorienting after a certain point. In the jungles, can't see anything unless it's a stark desert background or like in inside a crypt. Physically can't see stuff in this game. It's always stuck behind a wall. Elite monsters aren't just like glowing all the time, so you just don't know that they're a thing unless they come with a big aura or like a dome on them. It's like I'm trying to track through these gargantuan maps. I can't see what's attacking me. I don't know why I'm dying. And then I have the benefit of like, you know, a couple hundred people are watching me play. They're like, oh, this happened. I'm like, oh, sick. There would have been no way for me to find that out unless literally there were people who played this game for 10,000 hours to tell me. And it's getting to me a little bit in maps too. I'm just like, oh my God, please help me. Like I'm in high tier maps. I'm like tier 15. So like I deserve to die. Sure. Mm. But it's just like every third map I just get exploded by something. And I'm like, I've learned nothing. I have not become a better video gamer. I don't know what happened.
And it's even more punishing there.
Right. Because you get one shot at it. Where in PoE 1, you had multiple portals. So when those one shots do happen, like, okay, well, what was that? How did that transpire? How do I avoid it? Now it's like, okay, well, maybe when I get back there again, I don't have that happen. We will see. Yeah, so I haven't pushed as hard into maps, so I'm curious, macro with tier 15s. Does that make your list of struggles? The one death and it is over.
It's a few things there where I feel like I'm trying to make the most informed decisions that I can. Okay, you know, at first I just couldn't find waystones. Like my first day getting into maps, I went 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Oh, sick! I'm doing tier 10. I'm in negative res, easy mode game. Waystones just stopped dropping. Then I would find like a tier 8. I'm like, oh, sick. I'm going to really juice this one up. I'm going to make sure I get another waystone. And then something one taps me and I'm back down to buying like tier 1 maps from Doriani and forging them together. And I'm like, oh. What this has taught me, because again, I don't know what NPCs are doing it. What the game has taught me is that I need to be at max range. I need to never face an enemy straight on. I need to hope that my minions will just kill it if it has any effects on it at all. Unless I have like cataloged that individual monster in my brain. Somebody likened it to like Dark Souls. Like, oh, it's not going to hold your hand. It's like Dark Souls. I'm like, this is worse than Dark Souls, actually. In Dark Souls, I can go get my souls back. In Dark Souls, I can get back to where I was going. This one took my map. It took my time. I got nothing out of it. I got no loot. I just found out you lose experience, by the way. Why are we still doing this in 2024, huh? Hardcore exists for a reason. If I want to be punished for dying, that's what hardcore is for. Why am I losing experience? I'm already losing time and map and resources and sanity. But sorry to get back to your question. being brand new to it, it's all these little frustrations add up a lot. And I don't feel like it's necessarily giving me the best opportunities to become a better player of the video game. And it's actually teaching, it's positively reinforcing suboptimal strategies and lessons that will continue to make my ability to learn less and less effectual. So I feel like it's teaching me in the wrong way. And that's the frustrating part, because I don't have the opportunity to try again. It's just I'm on to a new thing that I also don't know that's also going to one-shot me. So like, what do I do about that? And it's not everything one-shots me, right? Like I have a competently built character. I can survive most things. It's when it is a one-shot and I have so little time and I'm just like, I don't know, don't go near stuff. All right, sick. That's a good strategy, you know? That's not going to work the majority of the time.
Which, Aeon Leviathan, you had kind of hit on it before, like hearing from like Ziz and Lily and all the others. That is a very classic PoE1 experience of like, I walked in and I was dead, something from three screens away must have done it. Okay, well, let's just try to avoid that. But you're right, Macro, to have that combination of you're losing the map plus experience, which I'm not opposed to losing experience, but like it, if it's preventable, if it is a one shot, if it is, like, if I fuck up, I'm okay with eating it, right? But if there was no way of preventing it, and then also it is significantly harder for me to discern how to avoid that in the future, be it by not even being able to return back to that map and give it a second go, yeah, that can be a little bit more frustrating. And that was one of the reasons I would bounce off of leagues in PoE1 were the one shots. Like it just, things, it would escalate to a point where I'd be like, okay, well, that was my character for the league. I'm gonna go back to something else for a bit. I would ideally hope that kind of gets rectified as early access kind of continues on.
It actually makes me a little concerned. I agree with pretty much everything you guys are saying. I actually am not sure where I fall in the experience loss thing. I do feel like I like consequences for softcore because I ultimately want to play hardcore, but I just like have never stepped up to bat for that for PoE because it's just so like you are alive or you're dead. And I'm worried that PoE2 might go that direction too. I really much rather prefer to see this like war of attrition that we saw in the campaign, right? Where like, you know, the big swings are going to like potentially take you out. And so you're ready for those. You're dodge rolling, you're playing the mechanics. But otherwise, it's just like a me versus the life flask versus the hits that are in the fight, right? And I hope we can get back to some of that. But it feels like it's just such a tough balance thing to do when you have all these exponential things, right? We want to juice maps because it makes it more rewarding for us. But that means we're getting more mechanics. The bosses are, and even honestly, like more threateningly, the rare monsters and the white mobs and stuff are getting harder, which potentially will take your character out and you don't learn anything. And then like all the loss that comes with that. It also concerns me from an aspect of build making where like in PoE1, I was so averse to dying. I just hated that feeling that I would make tank. I would take my build based on how tanky it was rather than like how excited I was for the build itself. And right now, as I'm playing a ranger and its main defense is evasion, that's sort of like a you're alive or dead thing too, right? Because either I evade the attack or I take it. And if I'm taking it, I'm probably taking like a significant amount of damage because I don't have armor. I don't have like, you know, maybe some other ways to mitigate damage. And so does that mean that like that's actually a bad strat? Like, is that just a bevy of builds that are all on the evasion side of the tree that just like, hey, good luck in high tier maps because you might get one shot? Like that to me feels kind of weird. And then it comes back to that question of like, is one death and that's it, you know, the right way to play the game or the right way for the game to be designed? And I don't know how many times they talk themselves in that circle, but I feel like we could do the same thing too.
the only, because I didn't quite articulate my issue with the experience loss. And here's why. A punishment for failing in an ARPG ultimately is time. That's what it is. The reason why I don't personally like hardcore is because I don't like to spend time I've already spent, because I'm not learning a new thing. I'm just doing it again. I learned what not to die on that boss about. Me playing the character again through is not teaching me a new thing. So that's literally just time loss. Other people like it. I'm not trying to harsh their mellow. When we're talking about, okay, now you're into the end game. You've learned all the lessons, but this elite monster, and it's never the bosses, which I think that has to be wrong. If the boss is not the scariest thing on the map, why is it the boss and why are the other things just elite monsters? Right? That doesn't make sense to me. I look forward to fighting the boss at the end because I'll just dodge the mechanics of the boss because I've learned the bosses. I can't learn your elite that, again, I can't really see it unless it has a big glowing dome on it. And then I try to hover it very quickly and I have to read 8 lines of text and try to read 3 different indicators about resistances. And then its lightning sphere has entered me in my soul and my walk with my lord. And then I'm an exploded corpse while other stuff is happening. You know, Diablo 2, an elite monster was a different color. It spawned in a certain way where the other minions around it were all their normal color and you knew it was a thing. And you could tell what it had based off of what it was running at you with. That comes along with the experience. But I've lost the map. I've lost the time. I've potentially lost my hardcore character if I'm playing hardcore, obviously. I've lost out on all of that. And then also, you have taken away the resource that I have to become stronger to succeed at the thing I just failed at. So you're penalizing me in every measurable way. And it's compounding. It's all time, but you've taken away 3 different versions of my time. Quite literally the time of the map, the time of not getting items during that, which is inefficiency. The time of what it took to get to the map and be able to do it. I don't get to do that stuff on that node anymore, so I lost that opportunity. And experience, like, I still play classic EverQuest on a private server where once you hit the hell levels, when you die, it's like you lost a week of time. I go back to that as a special little treat for me alone off stream. I don't need that in the game whose genre is about efficiency. It's just like, it's a slap on the wrist for no reason, IMO. You don't have to agree with me, but I just want to make my case about it.
I think it's fair. I like having a death penalty for soft core, but you are right. There is a with the way the maps are working now, there is a death penalty. There's a very harsh death penalty. And I think it's like you can't have all of those things mixed together and also have a good feeling on failure. Like, I can fail and be like, okay, I know what to do next. But how many times are people pushing into a hard map, dying, losing XP, not getting loot? Or, you know, hey, maybe they killed that rare, but then there was an on-death explosion that kills them.
Yep.
And they get to see all the loot that they didn't get.
Oh, yeah. That one waystone, I would go infinite if I got that waystone, I promise you.
So, yeah, I think there's some polish there. There's a few things of like, how do we want to? And I think the thing from, you know, a lot of what has been harked to in talking tonight is, how do we best respect players' time? If it is in players' death, how do we best respect that? And yeah, it's still early access. There's massaging that can yet happen, but stick to one thing. Maybe not all the things. Maybe not all the things at all the time. As we are going long, let's push. You know, it's not just all, you know, it's not just all gloom and gripes and what have you. As we kind of look forward, you know, it's the end of the year. We got 2025 coming up. This is ideally when this game is going to release. What are your goals, I guess, with early access? What do you want to do in the months that are going to come? It's been a week. We got many more weeks. Like, My main goal is I just kind of want to play everything. I don't know about you guys. I have like 40 different builds in my brain that I want to go and play with. I picked up, was it Clover Clobber, today?
What
It's
the heck is that?
a big old mace for like ideally all of the minion nodes affect you. So you wield a big old mace and the minion nodes affect your character. So I can make a big old slam witch, trademark slam witch, and maybe that's what I want to roll with. I haven't touched a warrior, a ranger, like so many different things that I just kind of want to dive into, as well as just knock out some pinnacle bosses, to do all the things. What are your guys' plans as early access is just in its infancy?
Mark, you want to go first?
I'll try to keep it short and sweet. I want to gain an encyclopedic knowledge about every single thing that exists in this game, to the point where I can recite the alt text. That's, I in w one of my little claim to fames, and people will only understand this if they understand this. I am the person who wrote the How Poison Damage Works article for Diablo 2. If you go read that, maybe peruse it the next time you have a couple of minutes, maybe you're hanging all alone in the bathroom just being creative, go read that article. It's insane how that thing works. And that's every single thing in Path of Exile. In the short term, I want to play a melee class so I get a better understanding of exactly how their hit check system works, so how accuracy versus evasion works, and what are good accuracy values, and how does it work with skill scaling, and just look under hood of everything. People are like, oh, what build do you want to try next? You're going to try the next witch build? I'm like, I don't know, man. I'm going to put a big old two-handed mace in my hand and just jump around and see what that does. And then I'm going to whip out a bow and I'm going to see what that does. And then I'm going to pick up the quarterstaff and hate it and put it down because I just don't like that. It's just not my bag of, it's not my cup of tea, but I'm going to do it. I'll go play your breach acolyte of Shaylua and figure out how to make the scaling chaos damage work.
Thank
But no,
you.
I mean, I want to play everything. A lot of my brand has been about the niche of being the necromancer, which is great. It's worked really well for me. People play other parts of video games, and I don't like not being able to answer those questions. So that's what I want to do over early access. Whenever I have a couple weeks, pick up a new build, try it, see what it does, put out my findings, have people tell me I'm doing it wrong because, so and so has put out a different build guide, and me go, well, I'm using a different skill, so it's technically slightly different. So you can't hold me to that standard. No, but just, I mean, it's a whole brand new game. Try everything. When Diablo 4 was coming out, oddly enough, I didn't just pick up the Necromancer and play it. I played every single class. I hated all of them. It turns out I actually only liked the
There
Necromancer, kind of the Barbarian.
you
But
go.
here it's like all of it's anything. It's basically like old school D2, where it's like you could just pick up an item that grants you an O skill, and now you are that build. So figure it out. Now you are the Amazon with a sword. What does that mean for you? And I think that that's really exciting.
Well put. Yeah, I'm in a similar boat where I want to just experience as much of the game as possible, so I have that like understanding of, hey, like this is what poison in general cares about, and then there's different ways to scale that, and different sorts of applications depending on what you're trying to do with it. I want to have like that understanding that I kind of felt like I had a general sense of in PoE1 applied to PoE2. Now that we kind of have stuff set in stone, maybe it changes here and there, and I think that's another aspect of early access, like continuing to check back in as they continue to patch, because we've seen some pretty extensive patching already, and just like week 1.5 of it being out. And so I think that's really exciting to just like stay abreast of like, hey, these are the developments of like cool builds that are just popping up left and right too. I get inspired to try some of that stuff, but I think for me, I want to just like touch each archetype at least. So I want to like do some sort of like monk quarterstaff thing. Just because I haven't done that yet, and I want to see what it's like in PoE2. I want to play, and I think that will also like fulfill melee for me as well, so I can like check some of those boxes, if you will. And then like, I don't know. I do feel you, Xanth, on like the content. For me, like we talked about this a little bit before, like starting this whole podcast journey of like, I just don't know where I land with PoE sometimes because like I am not the bossing type. Like I don't get excited by like, oh, they added a new hard boss. Like I kind of hate failing. A type A mentality like is deeply ingrained in me from my mom in school. Thank you. And so now it's just hard to like put myself in front of those things knowing that like part of the journey there is failing and then getting better and eventually succeeding. I love the feeling of success, but God, I hate failing. So, you know, it puts me at odds with things, but I do want to see the content and try it and at least like have one main character that's kind of like that strong thing I can go back to and just blast the game with while I'm exploring and learning on the other side of things. So yeah, I think there's a lot, obviously there's a lot of legs here. You can't like master everything, but you can certainly try. And that's like the fun ambition of PoE is to just like see if you can learn it all. So I'm going to try some portion of that.
Well, we will take a little reprieve. It's the holidays. We're not going to podcast over the next 2 weeks, but we'll come back and it'll be interesting to see where you're at. And then obviously, Macro, you are welcome back on any of the podcasts that we have at any point.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Where can people find you?
So I'm at the hardest to spell name everywhere. I'm at Macro Bio Boy. It's spelled like it says, and it's said like it spells. I'm not Marco Boy Boy, but you can call me that if you want to. Everybody does. I mean, I'm on everywhere. I finally got a Blue Sky up. I post there every single time that I post on Bad Website. So if you don't like Bad Website, like I don't like Bad Website, you can go hang out on Blue Sky with me. Pretty chill people over there. Less people telling me I should throw myself in a dumpster because I don't think that mobility should be this restricted in a video game, but like, who the hell am I? But no, you can find me everywhere. I stream on YouTube and on Twitch Monday through Friday, 1 to 7. Come hang out with me. I'll talk too long about a mechanic I just learned about. It'll be fun, I promise.
And if you're really nice, he'll use his Boston accent. So
if you're wicked nice, I'll talk to you with the Boston accent. I'm from the North Shore. You know, what can you do? But I generally like to try to sound smart, and people don't generally think you're smart when you talk like this. This is what I sound like, though, if you put me around my neighborhood friends, though. So it's kind of crazy.
Transported back home. I love it.
Yeah, you're back. I'm excited.
Well, that puts a wraps on episode 2 of Raycast. Thanks again for tuning in, and stay sane, exiles.